When you worked at the audio, but do you remember roughly when you went to, what year it was that you went to work for the insurance company?
I think I was there in 25.
So you had spent at least 2 years or so working for
I
the
worked at an insurance company 3 years. I know it was 25, maybe when I don't know.
So, but it was still in the 20s before
Yeah.
the
Oh,
Depression.
yes.
Now you stayed there 3 years. Were you making more money at the insurance company?
Yes, but it seemed like it was harder on me than on me because I was at tension all the time. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just a kid, and I had one of those English bosses that would. Everything was Miss Orwin, Miss Orwin. Two buzzards was mine, and it was always ringing. And I was always having to do this and that. But he was teaching me, I guess.
What kind of work did you do then?
I did all the filing, and then I ran errands to endorsements. When they have a change in policy, I go to different buildings around and take that endorsement thing and deliver it. And I put up the mail at night. He sent great quantities of circulars out, and I had all that to do. And I went to the May Company. They had a post office there, and I used to buy all the stamps. And all the time I worked for him, I never took one stamp. I always was honest. And he used to send me to the banks for money, and first thing I did is he wasn't in his office when I came back with his money. He was going on a trip. And I just tossed it on his desk, and two buzzards rang, and my name is screaming out in a hurry. And he set me down and talked to me, told me never to ever handle anybody else's money and just go off and leave it. Absolutely, which was a fine thing to tell me, Money didn't mean anything to me. And so that was true. I shouldn't have done it that way.
There was a lot of tension on your
Yeah.
part there then.
So then my mother got ill. She had an accident, and I stayed home to care of her for about a year. And then I went to work, and a neighbor came along and got me a job at the Packard Bell Radios. And they work so many, and then they lay off. And then I went to work for Gilfillan Radios. The neighbor got me that job, and so I learned how to solder.
Had you, when you, now you took the year off to work to take care of your mother,
Yeah.
did the other people in the family just continue to,
Well, my oldest brother went to Catalina and got a job over there, and my stepfather was working, and my youngest brother was working.
Were your brothers also, turning their checks
Yeah,
over to your
they
mother?
always did them. Yeah.
They just supported you while you were living
Yeah.
there? Excuse me. And then, so after that year, you were saying the neighbor got you a job at Packard Bell, were you? Now, was that soldering work, were you saying, or?
Well, yeah, someone taught me how to solder all these little components in radios. And that led up to my job in Lockheed. And I got a job out. Another neighbor came along, says, "They're hiring women at Lockheed, and you might as well go out there and get a job." And I said, "I don't want to go way out there." He says, "I'm coming by in the morning and get you and take you out there, and if you're not out of bed, I'm going to get you out of bed." So I was up shining and all shined up and went to work out there, and they gave me a sheet to fill out, and it was raining. I never will forget. And I filled this out, and then they looked at my application, and then they wrote in red letters soldering on that thing. And this was before the war was on. So I knew I was going to get a job just on account of that, but I didn't get it right away. That was in September, and I didn't get the job till after Pearl Harbor.
So, but in the years before that, and this sounds like even during the Depression, you were able to work at these radio companies. What was the second company's name?
Gilfillan.
And at Packard Bell, you're saying they would sort of put people on and then lay them off?
Yes, well, they make so many, and then they run out of parts and things, and they have to do. But I made good piecework there, and I made good money. I cashed my check at the butcher shop, and the butcher said that that was depression time, that I was making more money than a lot of the men were.
Mm-hmm.
So all I went to the home.
Mm-hmm. Were there many women working at the radio company?
Oh, a lot of women.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of women.
What kind of setting was that like? Was it a...
All benches and soldering irons and like a factory would be.
Mm-hmm. About how many people would be in
there? Well, I guess they had about 25, 30 people.
Mm-hmm.
I remember there was a man there. He was a police officer, and he lost both of his legs riding this motorcycle, and he came in on crutches,
mm-hmm.
and he played the guitar, and he sat there and soldered and earned his living that way. And then lunchtime, he'd play his music and sing, and I thought that was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So did you get to... you were making better money at these soldering jobs than you had been, say, working with the insurance thing?
Yes, mm-hmm. I was happier there, too.
Mm-hmm. Did anyone ever say anything to you, I know you're mentioning the butcher, that made me think about that you said you were making more than some of the men were making. Was there ever any pressure that men should have those jobs, or...
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty solid.
Well, I don't know. They were doing the hiring, and young girls would come in there, and that's it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Yeah. So it was something women were working. It was sort of.
Yeah, I think they still do it today.
Mm-hmm.
Women has fingers are more limber than men, and they can see these other men. They put the bolts and the holes and the screws and all that sort of thing, and these women solder these little tiny wires and components. And they're more accurate. They don't burn up the insulation on the wires and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And so you were still with your family at the
yes.
time,
mm-hmm.
And they would, and your mother was sort of managing the...
Oh, yeah, she managed all the money out of
mm-hmm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Did they have any, did they stay in Eagle Rock the whole time?
No, we moved to a bigger house where my brothers had a bedroom, and I had a room on the back porch,
mm-hmm.
and a nice big yard, and it was a nice house we lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And we were teenagers all together, you know, and my brothers would bring all their girlfriends over, and I'd bring all the other girls, and they'd show them how to eat peas with a knife and all that kind of stuff, you know. There was something going on in our house all the time.
Uh-huh.
The neighbor says, I don't know what goes on over there, but you sure have a good time.
Uh-huh.
And my stepdad let us come and go. And Saturday, we do a lot of cooking and baking. And everybody, all the kids that come to our house for a dinner on Sunday. And
mm-hmm.
it was wonderful.
Did you socialize much with your friends from work? Or,
Yeah, I still hear from them.
Mm-hmm. So you met, were the people who were coming over people you knew from work, or were they just
oh, yes.
you had met?
Oh, yes. I always had a girlfriend or two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Close friends. But
yes, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. What kinds of things would you do in your time off, say, during the week?
Well, in my teenagers, I went to dances every Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
And you could go all over to Los Angeles and never be bothered, and you ride the streetcar and... And it cost you 5 cents and maybe 50 cents to go to the dance, and these kid dances, you know. Oh, I thought it was real wonderful.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of, where were the dances held at?
Well, right over the hill here used to be the big Palomar,
mm-hmm.
and it's burned down. Mm-hmm. And they had a great big light in the center that had mirrors on it, and they reflect light and sparkle all over. And then they had a beautiful hardwood floor all diagrams, and then they'd have the orchestra up to one side, and then they had these big palm trees in the corners and things. It was a wonderful place to go.
Mm-hmm.
And all us teenagers went there.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So you every Saturday night was the night for...
Oh, yes, and my brother used to have to take me and used to have a fit. I used to have to wash his clothes and iron his shirts and pamper him till he'd take me and go... He went off to Catalina and left me, and then I was on my own, I think. But I always had a lot of girlfriends to go with.
Uh-huh.
I had a big Italian girl, and everybody was scared of her.
Uh-huh.
She was more blonde than I was, and I don't know, there was about five or six of us all together, and we always ran around.
Mm-hmm.
We'd always get together.
Mm-hmm.
It was always fun.
So, you kept working right through the depression.
I've always, had no.
And then, and it was, and someone just told you they're hiring people out at Lockheed, and that's how you...
Well, the neighbor told me that, you know, and he took me out there. I thought it was too far out there. When I saw all those cars and things, and I thought, oh, I'll just be here 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite a long 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Then after I got there and got acquainted with all these people, and there was so much going on, so much to learn, and you were real anxious, and it was a challenge. It was a nice challenge. And you met all these different people and characters and everything.
Mm.
It's wonderful.
Well, maybe this would be a good place to stop for today because we've sort of caught up to the world.